I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne, and welcome to Radio Times. Our guest, Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, is running for re-election. He had big plans for his first term, many of which had to be scaled back because of the financial meltdown and crippling recession that hit the city hard. That meant some tough budget decisions, and the latest tax and sales figures indicate more belt-tightening ahead. Mayor Nutter has battled city council over the drop retirement program and paid sick leave legislation. And while Philadelphia's homicide rate has dropped in recent years, crime, violence, and no snitching are still a problem that plague neighborhoods. One quarter of the city's residents are poor, and too many students drop out of school. Mayor Nutter established a 311 call center and the city's first chief integrity officer. She just released a report detailing behind-the-door wheeling and dealing involving a charter contract for a Philadelphia high school. Mayor Michael Nutter joins us on Radio Times to talk about his first term in office and his priorities for a second one, should he win re-election. And Mayor Nutter, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Marty, thank you very much.
What would you say is your major achievement as first in your first term as mayor of Philadelphia?
I think it's doing the things that I said I would do, as both as a candidate and at the inauguration. I said we had to lower the homicide rate and violent crime rate in Philadelphia. We've done that. I said that we needed to stay very focused on public education, education in general, and increase our college degree attainment rate as well as our high school graduation rate. We've done both. That we had to stay focused on jobs and economic opportunity, and even as you pointed out, we've gone through literally the worst recession since the Great Depression. We're still in the aftermath of that. Unemployment's still too high. But notwithstanding that, if you look at what we've talked about over the past, just this past month in September, over $1.2 billion in economic activity, 7,300 jobs, and any number of businesses still wanting to come to Philadelphia or expand in Philadelphia, and they see their opportunities. And lastly, I talked about integrity, transparency, and openness. And you mentioned Joan Markman, our chief integrity officer, Amy Curlin, our inspector general. I think we have changed some of the culture in Philadelphia. Still more work to do. People still, unfortunately, do bad things. But I think they've gotten the message that we're going to run an honest government because that's what citizens deserve.
And looking back on those same years, what would you say is your biggest mistake?
Biggest mistake, I think, was the announcement, I guess, late 08, early 09, the proposal to suspend service or close libraries, which we never did, and they're still open and operating and running. But I clearly could have done a better job at managing that particular issue. We ended up saving the money that we wanted to save without doing that, and it was a big lesson, and I've used that lesson many, many times since in terms of asking better questions, myself asking better questions of my folks, getting more input, more insight, and the like. I think the biggest challenge, though, is, again, goes back to the recession. No one saw that coming in the magnitude that it is. It almost caused the collapse of the entire economy of the United States of America. We've made some tough calls. We've made some tough decisions. We've upset a lot of people. But through it all, we also stabilized the finances of the city, stayed focused on safety, education, jobs, and integrity. And we've done some other very positive things in the city, and I'm sure we'll take some time to talk about
those. And I want to pick up on all that. This is largely a Democratic city, which is probably a good thing for a Democratic mayor running for re-election. But is it good for the city to have two parties, one of which really dominates politics and one that doesn't?
Well, I mean, you know, people register however they register. I mean, I obviously play by the rules. The system is what the system is. I mean, a rigorous, two-party system is what the founding fathers, well, I'm not exactly sure
what they had in mind,
what they totally anticipated back then, but in that regard. But, you know, we certainly see that maybe a little more at the state level, certainly at the federal level. But, federal politics are not necessarily something, you know, we'd like to emulate because of all the gridlock down there. So, you know,
but it is one party town. It's a one-party town, for better or for worse.
It's certainly a very heavily dominated Democratic town, but that does not stop any rigorous debate here in Philadelphia. Philadelphians will debate you about anything. We know that, and they're not shy about raising their voices. So, you know, I get held to a very high standard, as I should, as mayor of this city. And so at the local level, at a certain – I mean, I – work with mayors all across the country. I mean, as they say, there's no Democrat or Republican way of sweeping a street, filling a pothole, picking up trash. And so there is rigorous debate in the city. It may not be so much partisan as it is principled, and it's around issues, and it's about getting things done, ultimately, and that's my job.
Do you think the School Reform Commission has essentially run its course? And I ask that because in the spring they found something like $600 million in as a shortfall. Of course, we know about the messy and costly departure of Arlene Ackerman and this closed-door meeting having to do with Martin Luther King High School. Is it time to rethink a School Reform Commission?
The SRC at the moment is the legal entity in charge. It was created by the state 10 years ago. And at the moment, as you and I sit here, I don't see that going away. So in my job, I mean, for what I do for a living, you try to make the best of what you have. I think that the SRC has some extraordinary powers. They also have extraordinary responsibility. And because we've had some challenges in recent times, does not necessarily mean that there is something inherently wrong with the structure. We've had, you know, different people serving at different times. I've made a new appointment recently and expect hopefully to make a second. The governor has nominated Pedro Ramos, and of course, you know, we'll soon have a second nominee as well. So I think what I'd like to stay focused on is trying to get the right mix of people, focused on the main mission, which is about children, a little less drama by the adults, and a lot more focus on kids and their education. Let's make what we have work and work well.
We don't live in a perfect world, but in a perfect world, would you like to run the School District of Philadelphia? Have that kind of authority? And some mayors have that.
Some mayors do. I've been a long proponent of mayors being more actively engaged and involved in schools. I'll take you back a little bit, some history. When I was still in city council in 1999, I worked with my colleagues and the public to change the school district home rule charter to allow the mayor, and I was not thinking about being mayor then, to allow the mayor to make all nine appointments directly to the Board of Education, as opposed to staggered terms and people being carryovers from other administrations, et cetera, et cetera. Schools are critical. Education is critical to the future of this city. So, and I've had this conversation with Governor Corbett and Secretary Tamales. Again, it's not a current topic of conversation, but a mayor is on the ground. The school district administration building is literally six blocks from City Hall. So, of course, I would like to have that level of responsibility, that level of authority, but also we need to make sure that the schools are properly funded. What I've kind of basically said is, you know, if I were to have that responsibility, I don't want to take it on with a broke district financially. And so the state pays about 58% of the cost of public education. The state constitution says that the state is responsible for a fair and efficient education. So I know some people, you know, think, well, let's just get rid of the state. The state is always going to be involved in education. Why don't we try to figure out how to have the state a better partner in education? I know times are tough, but we need to invest more in education. So short answer, yes, it's not really a serious topic of conversation at the moment. What we are trying to do, though, is create a better partnership among the city, the state, the school district, and the SRC. That's where my focus is. That's where I'm going to spend my time. There is no child in this city right now, as they're sitting in their class, third period, whatever time it is, really thinking about who's on the SRC, who's the superintendent, what's the mayor doing, or what's the governor doing. What they care about is who's my homeroom teacher, who's teaching me history, social studies, and when's lunch or recess. I mean, we need to get focused back on kids and teachers and safety in schools and high-quality options for our children and setting high standards for them.
Do you think Arlene Ackerman was, and she was the former superintendent of the Philadelphia School District, do you think she was good or bad for school students in Philadelphia?
I think that Dr. Ackerman had a academic focus that was great for children. Imagine 2014 has any number of components that I've been supportive of and will continue to be supportive of. I think what happened here is the policy of education became overwhelmed by the personalities involved, and, you know, Dr. Ackerman you know, at times some of the great achievements were almost kind of trampled on by some of the other things that had less to do with education or less to do with kids and more to do with some adult issues. So, you know, look, she tried to do her job. Things at the tail end were kind of not working well. She has moved on. I think we've all moved on, and we need to move on. We have an acting superintendent, Dr. Leroy Nunnery. I'm working closely with him. Our administration is working closely with him. We need to have a successful school year. We had a great first day of school. School's open. Reports are that there was only one vacancy in the entire system. That's a spectacular achievement. And so, you know, that era has passed. We need to move forward.
Well, let me just ask you one more question about this report by your chief integrity officer without getting into the details of the report, because it is complicated. But she talked about the district being compromised by this closed-door meeting. And we also heard from city council, and this was from Marion Tasco, said people had a meeting and they disagreed. It's a disagreement. Folks fight from their point of view. What's wrong with that? Frank Rizzo said sometimes the most powerful survive. That's what politics is all about. Powerful people have the ability to deliver projects. And this was the I guess debate behind closed doors having to do with Martin Luther King High School, former SRC chair Robert Archie, Dwight Evans, and the fact that that's parents in this particular school had chosen one charter school and Evans wanted another. Is this acceptable?
Well, I'll kind of sort through your question. You loaded a lot of things in there. Let me first say that there's, at the local level here, or certainly up in the General Assembly, I don't know of anyone who's been more passionate, more focused, more committed to positive outcomes for children than State Representative Dwight Evans. He is a very focused person. He is a very passionate person, and he fights for what he believes in. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a result of that. We've known each other and been friends for a long, long period of time. This is this was a quite different kind of situation where you had more of a process. You had some amount of structure with committees and deadlines and meetings, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't mean that he should not have the right or the ability to advocate for what he's seeking to do. I mean, again, this is a person who's had a longstanding relationship with Martin Luther King High School and other schools in the area. So I think the issue here was, you know, when you have a structured process, you know, everyone needs to play by those rules, stay within the line, stay within the in the process. And, you know, at least according to the report, there were, you know, there was playing within the rules and then there was going outside the lines. And, you know,
did they go too far?
End result is the end result. I mean, I think it was a passionate advocacy. I wish my friend had stayed within the lines. But, I mean, his passion is duly noted and he cares about kids.
Well, we're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. And Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter is our guest. He is running for re-election. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
The Kimmel Center supports WHYY and presents Herbie Hancock in concert on Saturday, October 8th. Throughout his five-decade career, the pianist and composer has maintained a distinctive musical point of view with acoustic, electronic jazz, and modern rock. Hancock is known for his live shows, as well as his many recordings, from Watermelon Man to Rocket. Now embarking on his first ever solo tour, Herbie Hancock performs at the Kimmel Center for one night only, October 8th. Tickets at 215-893-1999 or kimmelcenter.org.
Supporting WHYY, Westchester University offers over 150 undergraduate and graduate programs, including programs in the arts and research opportunities such as the Amazon Center for Environmental Education and Research and the Heat Institute, dedicated to conducting independent research related to the treatment of heat-related illness in athletes. More details are available at wcupa.edu. That's wcupa.edu.
The Delaware Humanities Forum supports WHYY and presents Where Do Religious Voices Belong in the Public Conversation on Same-Sex Marriage with Dr. Mark D. Jordan, the Richard Niebuhr Professor of Divinity, Harvard University, Thursday, October 6th at First and Central Church in Wilmington. Dr. Jordan, author of The Silence of Sodom and Recruiting Young Love, is an active participant in the public dialogue on the church and homosexuality. More about the lecture and the reception that follows at dhf.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, who was running for re-election. We're talking about some of the challenges of being mayor of Philadelphia, talking about some of his priorities for a second term should he win re-election. And Karen Brown, who's the Republican candidate, is going to be our guest next Monday at this time. We have calls coming in to 1-888-477-9499. Not to belabor this, but I hear you being very careful and how you're talking about Dwight Evans. But I just want to quote one more thing from this report from your chief integrity officer. And she said, this is going back to the SRC meeting, Archie's and Evans' actions in this matter have compromised the school district of Philadelphia's ability to secure parent involvement in their children's schools, to make decisions according to a fair process, and to garner public confidence in those decisions. I mean, this report is very critical of what went on behind those closed doors, saying essentially these are powerful people trying to override a decision made by parents.
Well, it is a very detailed report. Joan Markman is excellent at what she does, and I asked her to try to get to the bottom of what had happened. She spent a lot of time, interviewed a lot of people to try to answer that question. I mean, I think, Marty, this is one of those situations where, I mean, the report speaks for itself.
Right. Does it speak for you, though?
The report is Joan's work.
Right. Her office is right next to yours, right?
Literally right next to mine. She interviewed a bunch of people, including myself, made her report. It's her view. It's her analysis of the facts, because I asked for fact-finding. So, you know, it's hard for, I'm not going to try to add or subtract anything from the report. The report is the report, and it answers, hopefully, most of the questions. I wasn't in that room. She wasn't. You weren't. So, you know, I think it's a recounting mm-hmm. of the best amount of information we're ever going to have about what actually happened that particular day.
And is anything going to happen to this report? And then I will move on. I mean, is there something that's going to happen next, or is that it?
I'm not anticipating it. I mean, it's not what her office does. She's not an investigator. Her primary role is to help make sure that on our side of the government, because she actually works for me, right. not for the district, this was an extraordinary situation. Something like this has probably never happened before. So the report is what it is. It's out in the public, but there's nothing else for us to do. We don't have jurisdiction over the school district. This came as a result of extraordinary cooperation by a whole bunch of people involved in this particular situation. I think there are some lessons learned, and all of us as adults should learn those lessons and try to make sure that we don't have another situation like this in the future.
Are there going to be further budget cuts? And I ask that because I was reading about the tax and sales figures of the last couple months have
yeah.
not been good enough. Does that mean we're looking at a round of cuts?
We had an underperformance, if you will, in July and August. We'll have the September totals very soon. But July and August gave us enough concern that we started a process with our managers, asking them to take a look at, if we had to cut, maybe 2% from your budget, what would that look like? What would you have to do? And we're getting that information back. What we've tried to do is to always be proactive. This is the first quarter. It's the ending of the first quarter mm-hmm. of the new fiscal year. But, you know, you can't wait. When those warning flags go up, it's time to take some proactive response, and this is the first part of that. But I couldn't tell you right now whether any cuts will happen. Again, I want to see what the whole first quarter looks like, not just a couple months during the summer.
You're not the only mayor that's having to look at these tough figures.
No.
But you can't raise taxes, right? Or
you're
not?
I don't want to raise. We've asked a lot of the citizens of the city. They've really on two ends. One, we have had to raise taxes to keep services going, to keep those police officers and firefighters and recreation workers and library staff and streets department folks. So we have had to raise taxes. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we've also had to, in many areas, cut services. Quite frankly, a little bit of a double hit. But Philadelphia has come through this incredible recession in much better shape than many other cities across the United States of America. We did not throw thousands of our public employees, our union workforce, out the door, as many other cities did. We have reduced the size of the workforce by over 1,600 people, mostly by attrition and periodic hiring freezes. So we've had to make that balance. This is a city that demands and requires a fair amount of service. And the cuts that we've made, certainly, as I mentioned earlier, have upset some folks. But, you know, we're not looking at any tax increases at the moment. We're really trying to manage with what we have.
And those demands for services come from the fact that this is a city with about 25% poverty rate. When people are poor, they're not working, many of them not working, although some are working, but they're
sure.
The working poor.
Working poor.
But nonetheless, they need city services. How do you, I guess, grow the economy, knowing, of course, what the challenges are, to try to get some of these people out of poverty?
Well, first, everyone wants city services. I mean, everyone wants a safe community. They want police or fire to show up when they call 311. You know, we've had enormous storms. Winter storms and even, you know, hurricane, earthquake. All, I mean, you know, so when things happen, people do expect that we're actually going to show up and do something. And as much as we will utilize and continue to utilize technology, there is no technological way to move 20 inches of snow. I mean, you either have the personnel and equipment to do it or you don't. So we will become more efficient. We are becoming more productive. But, yes, this is a city that is an old, aging city. Has you know, miles and miles and miles of street and trash to be picked up and services to be provided. So we try to do it in the most efficient manner. But, yes, people do demand services, and they get upset when we take them away.
Tom Farrick, who writes for Metropolis, in fact, that's his news blog about Philadelphia, said that the cost of city government for salaries and benefits is about $104,000 for each employee, I guess when you add up all the benefits, and I'm just quoting him here,
yeah.
But the point he wanted to make is that the median household income in the city is something like $40,000. So,
yeah.
However the numbers are, you've got this big disconnect between what most people in the city make and what it costs to have city employees.
Yeah.
How do you, I guess.
Well, again, Tom's, and I'd really like to check that number, but he's apparently including salary and benefits.
I think, yes.
Yeah, because there's no way in the world that, you know, is a pure salary number. So what we've tried to do is, in this kind of city, is maintain a middle class in Philadelphia, provide, you know, pathways out of poverty. And that's not all about folks working for the city government, because we continue to reduce and shrink the size of city government. I mean, we're not running an employment agency, but our job is to provide service. What we are trying to do is create an economic environment where more and more private businesses want to be here, or even in the nonprofit sector. I mean, we have great colleges, universities, hospitals, medical schools. They provide a tremendous amount of employment. The number one non-government employer in the city of Philadelphia is the University of Pennsylvania.
Right.
So those institutions are economic engines in and of themselves. Our job is to try to create an environment where businesses stay, want to relocate, or expand. And that's where you get your job growth. But also, Marty, I mean, one of the leading factors with regard to our poverty rate are issues like literacy, levels of education. I mean, those are economic weights. They're a drag on our economy. We have 500,000 folks in the city who have varying levels of literacy challenge, 200,000 folks without a high school diploma. You know, we're graduating now 63% on a six-year cohort of our young people out of high school, but that number needs to be 80-plus percent. We should have 35 to 40% of our adults, not 23%, with a college degree. We have 101 colleges and universities in the tri-state area. We're an education-rich region. We have to capitalize on the asset that we have When we improve the education level of citizens, we will improve our economy, create a bigger economic base, and we wouldn't be talking about tax increases. We'd be talking about tax cuts.
And that's Mayor Michael Nutter of Philadelphia, and he has almost completed his first term in office. He is running for re-election. He's a Democrat here in the city of Philadelphia, and he joins us on Radio Times. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Looks like we have Roan from West Park joining us on Radio Times. And Roan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, WHYY, for this venue. I'm an independent, and I'm a little concerned about Mayor Nutter's policies that really seem to cater only to the banking class. I was listening to Mayor Nutter talk about the lack of literacy and that being a major cause, but I think the major, a bigger cause is Mayor Nutter's will to not really see the value of the poorest communities in Philadelphia.
Well, let me just stop you there. And I do want to give the mayor a chance to respond, but what specifically are you talking about?
I'm talking about the closing of libraries. I'm talking about the closing of pools, the closing of programs, the catering to the K-6 after-school programs rather than the after-school programs for the youth from 13 to 24 that have been closed, and how that plays a role in the flash mobs, that plays a role in the lack of literacy. My basic question, question is, Mayor Nutter, is basically, why did you not sue Governor Corbett over the public school cutting? Because that's something that John Street did. I'm under the impression that Mayor Nutter really does not care.
Well, hold on, Roan, before you continue some of these accusations, let me give the mayor a chance to respond.
I appreciate and respect your opinion. There are a couple factual errors or statements that you've made that are not factually correct. The first of which is I care very passionately, I care very deeply. I've been a public servant for a pretty decent while. It's the only reason that I do what I do is because I care very passionately. So let me walk back through a couple of things that I remember you said. First of all, the libraries never closed. Never. They did not close. Secondly,
the pools,
that was 2 years ago. It was the summer of 2009. We only had 46 of our 70 swimming pools open. That was 2 years ago. In the summer of 10, every one of our pools was open. In the summer of 11, every one of our pools were open because I helped to raise money from the private sector to ensure that our pools are open. So I'm sorry about the summer of 09, but I'm sure by now most kids have gotten over a couple of pools being closed 2 years ago. With regard to the suit that you mentioned, the city of Philadelphia has been down that road, I believe, now three different times and has lost every time. The General Assembly ultimately has to decide, not just for Philadelphia, but for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that they want to invest in public education. Philly or Pennsylvania is not New Jersey, where those kinds of suits have been successful. But three different times the city has gone down that path. So I care very passionately about the children of this city. That's why I've made education such an important issue for Philadelphia. That's why I've been so focused on it. So, I mean, I respect your opinion, but I think you quite possibly just have some misimpressions by some of the actions that I've had to take to stabilize the finances of the city.
Roan, thanks for the call. He mentioned Governor Corbett, and we know that he's a supporter of vouchers.
Right.
Do you support vouchers? Do you think that would be good for the children of Philadelphia?
I've never been able to figure out how vouchers by themselves improve educational quality for the vast majority of children, especially in a large school system like ours. There is no way in the world that there are enough slots in private schools or possibly even the Catholic school system to accommodate the large numbers of children that might need that kind of help or support. So, I mean, it may do something for a few kids, a few thousand kids around the edges. The true path to educational excellence is an actively engaged and involved parent, a child that is ready to learn, hopefully has gone to preschool, kindergarten, and is reading at grade level by third or fourth grade, a properly funded school system, great teachers who are in that classroom and motivated, a safe environment, and literally the kind of funding that provides great curricula whether it's academic, whether it's career and technical education, whether it's art, music, culture, sports. If we're going to have well-rounded children, then we need to provide a well-rounded education, and some of that takes money.
Let me see what it looks like Eddie from North Philadelphia has to say. And Eddie, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello. Good morning, there. Michael. I'm sorry, Mayor Nutter. How you doing?
Sorry. Good morning, sir.
Go ahead, Eddie.
You're a busy guy. That's all I'm going to say about that. Oh, and no new taxes. That's always good to hear.
Trying my best.
I was curious as to, I appreciate the work that you've been doing with the flash mobs and the youth in Philadelphia. They've really been a big problem. But my main concern is I noticed that a lot of young people seem to be targeting people older than them, senior citizens, like they're not safe in their own homes. And I was wondering if you would be interested or support any legislation that would specifically give additional time or penalties to people who intentionally target senior citizens.
Well, I appreciate the call, Eddie. Mayor Nutter?
Yeah. I mean, Eddie, thank you for the compliment with regard to our young people. I mean, part of that is just a flat-out lack of respect. I mean, you know, I mean, I was a kid at some point, not that long ago, and I just cannot imagine when I was coming up that anyone would ever do anything other than yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, with regard to a senior citizen. I mean, you got up out of your seat on the bus, you opened the door, you helped carry groceries across the street. And so I don't know if there is any particular statute, you know, the state would have to do this, that, you know, targeting a senior citizen would get you extra time. But, you know, it certainly should.
You, I guess, now famously gave a talk at Mount Carmel Baptist Church, and this was back in early August when these flash mobs became pretty big news. And you said, if you want to act like an idiot, move out of the city. We don't want you here anymore. That was just one of several things that you said to these young people.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
It was helpful to speak the truth. I think the number one comment that I received about that talk or that speech from citizens, many seniors, was that someone needed to say it, and I'm glad you said it. You know, every now and then you just really have to say what's on your mind, even if you're in politics. And there was certainly some risk with that. But I said what was on my heart and what was in my mind, and I told the truth, and that's that.
You also said, parents, get your act together. You need to get hold of your kids before we have to. You also said a particular problem in the black community is that we have too many men making too many babies that they don't take care of. He preached to applause, and I'm quoting here from the Philadelphia Inquirer, we end up dealing with your children. Problem in the black community?
It's true. It's a particular issue in the black community. I mean, it's my community is not the only community that has, fathers that are not taking care of their children. But it is, unfortunately, a particular issue that leads to a whole host of other challenges in this city. I go to our prisons from time to time, and I always go on the first day of the year, on January 1st. It was actually a tradition started by my predecessor, former Mayor Street. Probably, I don't know, nearly 90% of the inmates in our prison, both the male and female, are African American. I always ask them, do you have children?
Mm-hmm.
About 3/4 of the hands go up, to which I say, who's raising your child? You need to get out of here, stay out of here, and be at home, you know, raising your child. So it is a particular issue, and I want to help those parents, but they have to get out of prison first.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation and our callers. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter is our guest, 1-888-477-9499. We'll be right back.
The University of Pennsylvania's Fells Institute of Government supports WHYY. The Fells Institute offers a Master of Public Administration degree designed for working professionals in the government and nonprofit fields. Classes are held on weekends and evenings to help part-time students balance work and school. A Master of Public Administration and Fells Open House will be held on Wednesday, October 5th at 5:30 p.m. Details online at fels.upenn.edu.
The new documentary, Jonathan's Return, tells the story of a young man's battle with mental illness. It's also a portrait of a family, unglued yet bound together by the instability of a loved one.
Literally hell, not for 5 weeks, man. Hell for a year and a half.
I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, Families and Mental Illness. Today at noon, right here on WHYY FM.
1812 Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. 1812 Productions presents Mistakes Were Made, the newest comedy from Craig Wright, writer for 6 Feet Under and United States of Tara. Starring Barrymore Award winner Scott Greer, this fast-paced comedy shows us an afternoon in the life of a Broadway producer who turns the theater world on its ear when he decides to make art instead of money. Mistakes Were Made, now on stage through October 30th. Tickets at 1812productions.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen talking with Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. He's been involved with Philadelphia politics for about 2 decades now as a ward leader, a member of city council, also as mayor. You're saying no, more than that?
No, Marty, you make me sound like I'm like ancient or something. I'm like a young guy. I got started early.
He started very, very young running the city, and he is running for re-election. He is the mayor of Philadelphia and obviously joining us today on Radio Times to talk about some of the challenges that he has faced as mayor of Philadelphia, obviously looking forward as well. 1-888-477-9499. Just picking up on this whole curfew issue that came up, would you say it has worked?
I think it's been helpful, but quite frankly, I think what's been more helpful are some of the more positive things that we've done. First and foremost was extending hours at many of our recreation centers, talking about how to get parents more actively engaged in the lives of their children, and some of the parties and dances and other activities. We had to take some action that helped to restore some sense of order, not just in a couple targeted areas, but, across the city. But our primary focus was on, what positive things can we do? What are some of the additional things that we should be looking at doing? We had a bunch of surveys done back in the spring with teenagers about, what kinds of programs and services would you like to see at our recreation facilities? Caller earlier talked about after-school programs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, school is not in during the summer. But, teens are a particularly challenging cohort of young people, and we want to have more services and programs that are catered to them. I think we do a great job on the, little ones, little kids, at our rec centers and libraries and after-school programs. But teens, we need more programs and services. We need more jobs for them. The federal government, in the last budget go-around, cut us 5,000 summer jobs this past summer of 2011 as compared to 2010. So we reached out to many of our employers to help with that. But, clearly we need to do more with teenagers in the city.
One question about the soda tax. You lobbied for a soda tax unsuccessfully. You also rejected money from CHOP, from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, for an anti-obesity program because the money came from the American beverage industry. And you tweeted, taking money from Big Soda to fight obesity is like taking money from the NRA to fight guns. You can't buy this city hall. You're comparing Big Soda to the NRA in terms of its potential destructive force on people?
Well, they use many of the same tactics and strategies, just like, big tobacco. It's a whole lot of money flying around, a lot of intimidation. They, set up, different groups to, kind of help, generate support. I'll leave it at that. The offer for those dollars came at the same time that there was legislation pending. It was, the Philadelphia Inquirer, in an editorial, I think last year, called it not pay to play, but pay to go away. I don't play like that. I'm not into that. So, look, CHOP is a great hospital, best children's hospital in the United States of America. That program is operating over there. There are many federally qualified health centers that are not related to the city where they could utilize those programs and services. They don't have to be involved with us. I think that whole story was an orchestration designed to, draw some attention to them. And, I respect CHOP, but we don't have to be involved with every program. We do have dollars from the federal government, from the CDC, to fight obesity and help with tobacco cessation. So, that was a manufactured issue.
But if there's Big Soda, Big Tobacco, is there also Big Fast Food?
You know, it's interesting. That industry, you know, I mean, they have their own challenges. But, you know, in an effort to obviously avoid further scrutiny from the FDA, I mean, all of a sudden now everybody has, you know, salads and fruit and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I don't give people, you know, dietary advice, you know, get some information, eat healthy. But I think the, you know, big fast food combine has at least tried to figure out how can we do better at what we do and kind of keep people off our butt.
Well, let me get Paul from Germantown to join our conversation. And Paul, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm disappointed that there isn't sufficient progress in the contracts with the four unions. There's only the cops have a contract.
Right.
The firemen, you're appealing arbitration.
Yes.
And the other two, there isn't any contract. I've worked for two city departments, and I'm retired now.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't look like to me that the folks who are working for the city are being treated fairly.
Mayor Nutter?
Yeah, I appreciate that, and let me say I appreciate your previous public service. What we are trying to deal with is that everyone, including our public employees, who are obviously also citizens, we all have to make some shared sacrifice here. We need changes in our pension plan going forward for new employees. We need changes in our health care in terms of how we pay for it, as well as some changes in work rules and our ability to better manage the workforce. That's what we need. We did get many of those provisions in the police arbitration, and we got one of those in the fire arbitration, which was a change in the pension plan. As a retiree, I am sure you're very concerned about the health of the pension plan, which is only 47% funded. That's not a good number. That's nowhere near a good number. So I respect our public employees. I deeply appreciate their service. They work hard. And I want to have good, fair contracts with our employees that are also fair to the citizens of the city who have to pay for those contracts. And when we get those kinds of changes, then we're really negotiating and really talking. I have to look out for the long-term future of the city, not just what's short-term convenient.
Paul, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well. And again, our guest is Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter. He is running for re-election. And next Monday, the Republican candidate for mayor, Karen Brown, will be our guest. 1-888-477-9499. You were a Hillary Rodham Clinton supporter in
yes.
the presidential election of, what, 2008?
In the primary, yes.
In the primary. Has President Obama been good for Philadelphia?
He's been very good for Philadelphia. The president and his team have helped us in so many, many situations. First of all, you know, even worse than my situation, I mean, the president walked right into a recession that was already raging. The day he said, the day he took the oath of office, things were really in bad shape. He's pushed through the largest economic recovery package in the history of the United States of America, saved the banking industry, and prevented our economy from literally going into what would be the second Great Depression. Reformed health care. People talked about it, but he's actually done it. Tracked down and killed Osama bin Laden. Is reducing the military presence in those two wars, and is now trying to get Americans back to work. Philadelphia through the American Jobs Act. So Philadelphia has benefited from any number of initiatives by President Obama, and I will be actively, aggressively, forcefully, and vocally supporting his reelection next year. He has done a great job. He's put a message out there, and if he could ever get a decent level of cooperation from the Congress, if folks could be a little less partisan and actually care about real people, put country above party, we can actually get some things done.
Do you think she would have been a better president, Hillary Rodham Clinton?
You know, that's one for the ages. You know, the Secretary Clinton is doing an excellent job as Secretary of State. I think it's, you know, it's impossible to compare the two given all the time that has passed and the issues that have taken place. I have a tremendous admiration for Secretary of State Clinton. Things didn't work out in the primary, and in our line of business, you move on from the primary. We all united around President Obama. He's our president and deserves to be reelected.
This is a kind of wonky question, but the Philadelphia Inquirer said that Philadelphia's property tax collection system is the, quote, least effective among big cities. About 20% of properties are delinquent. Do you agree with that assessment?
You know, I saw that report. It's an extensive report. I think we've had our challenges in terms of property tax collection. I think what the report did not do a particularly good job at pointing out is that the current collections are actually rather good. Our problem is that because of the recession, years 9 and 10 added to the level of delinquency because people had lost their jobs, lost their homes, and were suffering economically. So things have gotten better. If you had a pure apples-to-apples comparison before the impact of the recession, you would see that things were getting better. Unfortunately, the numbers have started going up because of the recession. We're being active, we're being aggressive, but we're also trying to be mindful of one of the first things that you mentioned, the level of poverty here in the city, especially with regard to many of our seniors. I think the paper would be writing another big story if we had thousands of senior citizens thrown out of their homes as a result of property tax issues. So what we seek to do is, you know, there are basically two kind of folks when it comes to taxes. Well, three. Those who just pay, like you and I. There are folks who want to pay and can't because of circumstances in their lives, and then there are those who can and don't. We're going to be very, very aggressive with that last group. We want to work with and get, you know, realistic agreements, payment agreements signed with the second group. And obviously, I hope that the first group continues to just get their bill and pay it. But we owe it to the hardworking taxpaying citizens of the city to aggressively go after every dime that is owed to us, and that's our goal.
Do you worry that this, I won't call it a recession, but these economic hard times are going to continue for years ahead?
Well, you know, I'm an eternal...
Because that limits, obviously, what America can do.
I'm an eternally optimistic person, Marty, but, you know, we talked earlier about some things, some signs, some little signs that we've seen just in July and August, rather, of this year. I'm hopeful that this is not going to last for a long, long period of time, but I think that we're at what I've come to call kind of a new normal. We're going to be where we are for a while. Our goal is to make sure that we're not going down further, that we're not losing more tax revenue, that we actually start to bring back some of those jobs, get the unemployment rate, you know, down. You know, pre-recession, our unemployment rate in Philadelphia was between 5 and 6.
Wow.
At the height of this, it was at 11.9, started coming down, actually got into the nines, high nines, and then it's crept up a little bit into the 10. So it's a tenuous kind of situation. So sure, I worry about it every day. In the meantime, my job is to still get things done. People want their trash picked up. People want a police officer or a firefighter to show up. They do want those pools open, which we've done the last 2 years. They want our libraries open, which never close. All of those services and programs. But we have to work harder, smarter, be more efficient, use the dollars that we have wisely, and always pay attention to those warning signs so that if we need to take different steps, we can take them early on and not get caught, you know, kind of flat-footed.
The first district in Philadelphia is now the second, quote-unquote, hungriest district in the country. I mean, this is a district that's just up the street from us.
Yes.
And there are either children that are not getting enough nutritious food, and then all the problems that come with poverty and hunger.
Right. Well, first, what I've said generally, and I've said this locally and nationally, it is unacceptable that any person in America doesn't have enough food.
Or
not
right,
in this
or the
nation.
Right kind of food, even.
Or the right kind of food. Not in this nation. You know, we feed just about everybody. And then we try to feed the world. If something happened today, tragic, somewhere halfway around the world, I can assure you that the U.S. military will have planes up in 24 to 48 hours, and you'll see pallets of food going out the back of those huge planes. My question is, where's that food right now? No one in America, child or an adult, should be without food or access to the right kind of food. I've talked with Congressman Brady, Congressman for the 1st District, about this issue. He cares very passionately about it. We spend a lot of time, the city government, focused on this issue. We've opened new farmers markets. We've supported the opening of new supermarkets. Our goal is to have create in Philadelphia an environment where 75% of the citizens live within 10-minute walk of fresh fruit and vegetables. We've opened community gardens all across the city. We've had that kind of program for a while. So we continue to focus on it. I don't think it's an issue that the city by itself can solve, and that's where the state and federal governments really can play a tremendous role.
There was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer over the weekend that something like 900 Philadelphians are able to mail or get guns through mail order from Florida. As mayor of the city, is there anything you can do to either change that or have some kind of oversight about who's getting guns in the mail?
Well, it's not so much that that article was not about them getting guns in the mail. It was about them getting gun permits in the mail and this whole Florida loophole and the reciprocity issue. I can share with you, without a whole lot of detail, but tell you that I am in the process of having a series of conversations. We'll be making an announcement about this shortly, to have our district attorney, the state attorney general, the U.S. attorney for the area, and possibly even the Justice Department, actively engaged with us on the issue of illegal guns. Their proliferation throughout Philadelphia and some other cities in the country, but especially here in this city. Our problem is an access problem, an accessibility problem, and in some instances, it might actually be easier for a child to get a gun than to get something from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute disgrace, and this is a national issue. It's a national crisis. This is not about the Second Amendment. There are many law-abiding folks running around who are not a problem to us. Virtually all the homicides in Philadelphia are committed with a handgun, and all of them are illegal. There's an illegal gun problem in this city, and we need help to solve it.
Well, Mayor Michael Nutter, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
You're very welcome. And he is the mayor of Philadelphia running for re-election. And the Republican candidate for mayor, Karen Brown, will be our guest next Monday at this time. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter, send us an email, and listen to those archives as well. I'm Marty Moscow, and thank you for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times.